following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, as we talk Union College men's hockey with head coach Josh Alge. Josh, welcome back, and it's postseason time.
Yeah, best time of the year, exciting time.
Yeah, the six-seeded Garnet Chargers begin the road to Lake Placid with the ECAC Hockey Tournament first-round single elimination game against 11th-seeded Brown on Saturday at 4 p.m., that's on Saturday. We'll talk about that game in just a moment. But first, let's look back at last weekend's road games against Cornell and Colgate, the final ones of the regular season. Union was still in the hunt for a first-round bye going in the weekend, but it was going to be tough, especially opening against Cornell at Lahaina Rink, where Union hadn't won since 2019. Of course, last season's game at Lahaina was a 10-1 loss. Yeah, things didn't get off to a good start last Friday when Jonathan Castanga, who had two goals and two assists in that Cornell 6-1 win last month at Mesa Rink, scored 137 into the game to give the Big Red a 1-0 lead. What was your initial thoughts when Castanga scored, and was it, oh no, here it's last year all over again?
Yeah, I mean, that might have went through my head. I thought, like, are you kidding me? This is the way it's going to go. And I was, you know, a little frustrated because I thought, like, our first shift was really good, and then all of a sudden just, you know, make a mistake and it ends up in the back of your net. But, you know, then you just saw how the guys responded and you didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because Union didn't allow Cornell to dictate the pace of the game after that goal. The Garnet Chargers get power play goals from Chad Smedrud and Liam Robertson to take a 2-1 lead in the first period. How big were those goals?
Yeah, our power play really settled us in, and just guys working hard to earn those. You get down and then be up 2-1 after the end of the first period. I thought it was a great statement by the group, and you know, was really proud of them.
Yeah, I mean, you take that 2-1 lead into the second period, but yeah, Cornell looked like, you know, I thought they controlled that second period. The Big Red was very good with puck possession. They were credited with only 10 shots on goal in the second. I thought it seemed like a lot more. You had to take a timeout with 4:54 left. You had some tired 4:54 into the period, I should say, because you had some tired players out there on the ice. I mean, how important was that timeout to settle things down and get some fresh legs out there?
Yeah, at that time, you know, we were hemmed in, and guys did a good job surviving that because it was a long shift. And, you know, you play a quality opponent, like, you're going to spend some time in your own end. And obviously, we got to do a better job limiting so you don't get, you know, when they really, you know, they cycle through players and they make that change and, you know, you get hemmed in is where you get in trouble. But, you know, we talk about bending and not breaking, and I thought we did a good job of that. And, you know, for the most part, again, they did have some quality shifts where they, you know, were pushing the pace on us, but our guys handled it, and then unfortunately we took a penalty, and yeah
it leads into the Gabriel Seeger, former Union hockey player. He ties it for Cornell on that power play with 4:37 left in the second. Now here's another moment where Cornell could have taken some control of that game, maybe have the momentum. Did you say anything to the players to encourage them after that goal?
I mean, we talk about just having trigger point moments in the game when, you know, a goal is scored and kind of refocusing. And first off, I thought the penalty was a bad call. I did not think it was. I thought it was just, I thought it was a line of call. Like, we were up 2-1 at their rink, and they just, you know, the officials were feeling a little pressure from that. I didn't think it was deserving, but they get the power play, they score, and then, you know, we're able to punch right back and get one. And I thought, I thought we got rewarded with a little bit of bounce, the puck bounce right to where we needed it to, but it was because we were working hard and, you know, got one when we needed it.
Well, I hope the ECAC is not listening to this.
You know what? I thought the officials in that game were really good for the most part. I mean, like, I disagreed with one call. I haven't disagreed with too many this season. So
you're saying there's still one of those arena calls where the referees are influenced. Never happens, does it?
I mean, I could not do what those guys do. I mean, it's that job, it's got to be miserable at times. And you know, for the most part, I think, you know, in our in our conference, there's, you know, every once in a while there's some questionable things, but for the most part they do a good job.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned here, you know, the Seager goal. It didn't really bother the team with 1:03 left in the second. The puck made its way to the net off a Cullen Ferguson left point shot. It deflected off of someone in front and landed on the stick of Colby MacArthur. And with Cornell goalie Ian Shane out of position, MacArthur bangs it home to give the Garner Chargers a 3-2 lead. How important was that goal?
Yeah, that was the difference in the game. I mean, again, like we started by just getting a puck in deep, and we got pinched off and got that puck deep, and were rewarded with just a low to high play. And you know, then again, you know, you get that bounce, and we needed that, and we were working really hard. So to be up 3-2, you know, especially after just kind of how the game was going, that's where we needed to be, and it was great.
Yeah, that third period to me, I thought, was Union's best of the season from a defensive standpoint. And the Garner Chargers limited the Big Red to 5 shots on goal. They didn't give him really any scoring opportunities, especially when Shane was pulled for an extra attacker with 1:11 left. Union wins it to snap the losing skid at Atlanta. That had to feel good.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it's as big of a win as we've had right now with the program. And I thought, like, it was a complete effort from the guys. Again, you're playing a really good hockey team. They're going to have moments where they control it. But I thought it was a back and forth game, and you know, was just overall proud of, like, you get down and just to not panic, just to keep working and stay the course. It was really, you know, you want to be playing your best hockey going into the playoffs, and I thought that was, you know, our best game of the season.
Would you say in your just 2 years here at Union, your biggest win of your career so far?
I mean, I think so. I think, like, you can say, like, you know, it doesn't bother you when you lose 10-1, but, like, mentally, like, that's a hard game to come back from. And, you know, you get there and you're like, oh boy, like, this is where it happened. And, you know, for our guys to, you know, to block that out and just play and just do what they do, like, it was a statement win for us. And I, you know, I thought that our energy and our effort was outstanding.
What was the celebration like in the locker room?
I thought it would be a little bit, you know.
So there was a video posted, I think, on Instagram, and it sort of like was exciting, but not as crazy as maybe a lot of people thought it would be.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think, you know, this group has been, you know, pretty even keel, and, you know, you know, I think they know that it was just a little disappointing to come back in both games where, you know, you needed maybe needed a little help, didn't go our way. So I think that was probably the only, you know, downside of it, was that, you know, Clarkson and Dartmouth had both won, and you thought maybe one might slip there.
Yeah, I was going to say here, you know, you didn't get any help elsewhere. You know, Dartmouth beats Brown to keep it total in fourth place, and the final first round bye. Fifth place Clarkson shocks Quinnipiac with a 3-2 overtime road win. I think that's two wins for Clarkson over Quinnipiac this year, which is, yeah, amazing. And then, so the team knows what's at stake when you took on Colgate on Saturday at Class of 1965 Arena. And just like Friday, Colgate gets a goal from Ryan Sullivan a minute 17 into the game, but Union does tie it on a Billy Eamonen power play goal 15 minutes later. So 1-1 after one. So the guy's feeling good.
Yeah, I didn't think we had the energy and just the, you know, I just didn't think it was the same. I mean, obviously you're playing in a rink on Friday night that the atmosphere was unbelievable. And then Saturday was, you know, kind of a, you know, stale environment. And it just, I think in those games you have to create your own energy, and, you know, you got to be, you know, cheering each other on the bench. And it was a quiet atmosphere, and I didn't think our effort was, you know, where it was the night before.
Yeah, not to be critical, Coley. I mean, I love Donnie Vaughn and enjoy, you know, talking with him over the years, and going to Star Rink, which was a hellhole for this hockey program. I mean, I think they won 3 games all told. I mean, I saw some ugly games back in the day. But, you know, they have this new arena, and it seems like the fans aren't coming out, which I think you have a new building. Is there anything else better to do in Hamilton than watch hockey?
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice building too. And, you know, hopefully, you know, they find a way to, you know, get people going. I don't know if that was just our game or if it's consistently that way. But it was, I mean, it was just kind of stale, and it is the polar opposite of the night before.
Yeah. Well, Colgate, you know, unfortunately for Union, scores twice in the second period to take a 3-1 lead. Chas Smedrud scores 31 seconds into the third to pull Union within one, but a back-breaking breakaway goal by Sullivan with 8:46 left gets Colgate its 2-goal lead back. Caden Viega scores with Kyle Chauvet out for an extra attacker with 1:39 to go, but Union couldn't get that tying goal and suffers a 4-3 loss. Sullivan's breakaway goal was Kohate's third breakaway of the game. Chauvet stopped the first two. But what do you think led to those breakaways?
I thought it was just a little bit of like our lack of attention to detail, and that's been a strength for us all season. And again, just disappointing, like guys watching the puck and, you know, taking chances. That one, you know, we take a completely unnecessary chance. We don't even have possession and we're trying to get to the back door, a defenseman, and he's sneaking in, and you know, you get beat up the ice, and then it's pretty much game over. And you know, every kind of 10 minutes we are getting kind of updates as far as, you know, in that period. And so like we knew that kind of where we were at, and that our fate was sealed as far as like moving up. So we tried to manage minutes and still try to win the game. Mm-hmm. So you're maybe putting the guys in a couple spots, but we didn't, you know, we definitely didn't play Prokop as much as, you know, we normally would. His minutes were down a little bit, but it was frustrating because I thought that was a game we could win.
Is that something that maybe the team will need to work on next season, the consistency from, you know, game to game, because, you know, you have those back-to-back games. You know, some of these Friday games played well, and then Saturdays have been a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I think when you look at us as a group, that like we're really good when we play with high energy, high effort, and, you know, like push the pace. And right now we've been able to do it for, you know, 60 minutes on a weekend. You know, we've got to like 90 or 100, but like we haven't consistently been at, you know, 120. And I think that's a challenge for us going forward. And you know, hopefully we can take care of business on Saturday and give ourselves an opportunity to try to be able to do that again.
Well, we'll talk about that matchup with Brown on Saturday in just a moment. So we'll take a break, and you're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC Hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC Hockey, there's no experience like it.
Hi. I'm Daily Gazette news columnist Andrew Waite and host of the Weighing In podcast, which takes you inside my award-winning featured news column by offering the backstory, thought process, and interviews that inform my work. Plus, readers have their chance to respond. The Weighing In podcast is available at dailygazette.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to get all the latest news from the Daily Gazette on your phone or tablet? We have an app for that. The Daily Gazette app allows you to read all the newspaper stories and columns from our dedicated team of journalists. The app is free. You can download the app from the Apple or Google App Stores.
What's up, everybody? This is Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio's Freddie and Harry Show, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. You're listening to the Party Shots podcast with my man Ken Schott, the Daily Gazette sports editor.
Welcome back to the podcast. The Union men's head hockey coach Josh Halji joins me. Let's now look ahead to the Saturday game as the postseason gets underway this weekend in ECAC hockey. Union begins its quest to make it to Lake Placid at 4 p.m. Saturday when the Garnet Chargers host Brown at Messer Rink. The teams each earned 3 points in the two regular season matchups. The Bears rallied for a 3-2 overtime win at Messer on January 5th. Union returned to favor February 3rd down at Meehan Auditorium, scoring two late third period goals to tie the score and send the game into overtime. Union gets the extra point by winning the shootout. What were your takeaways from those games, starting with the overtime loss?
Well, I thought that we, you know, didn't handle, you know, those situations well, late game situations. I thought, it was one of the first times where he'd kind of, you know, blown a lead, and, you know, give Brown credit. They put pressure on us, and we made some mistakes, and, you know, ended up, you know, giving one up at, you know, that was a frustrating one because I thought for us, you know, you look at it, and I think it was a good turning point for us in our season that we learned a lot from it, and I thought we really, you know, took some steps after that weekend, but it was a disappointing weekend in general.
And then the shootout win, you guys came back from two, like I said, two down to tie it, and really put a lot of pressure on Brown that third period.
Yeah, I think for us, we sort of learned that we have to be physical. We have to, you know, finish hits on defensemen. We have to, you know, really push the pace. And I think that it helped us in the sense that we were able to, you know, kind of lean on them and wear them wear them down a little bit, and then, you know, we're able to take advantage of some turnovers late.
Yeah, Brown has always been a tough team to play against. I mean, the Bears can be frustrating to play. I mean, they can make things really tough when you. What makes them so tough?
Well, I think it starts for them. They have a extremely talented freshman goaltender who's been great for them. Their young players have been outstanding, and really, I think they're going to be a scary team here, this weekend and moving forward. They just have a lot of really good young players. I think they've done a great job recruiting, and they can make plays with pace. They're dangerous off the rush. They have a good power play, and they're willing to block shots. I mean, watching the Harvard game, Harvard had a 5-minute major, and I think they blocked like 10 or 11 shots on that penalty kill. So they're sacrificing and playing for each other. So it's always a scary opponent when you see that.
Yeah, Brown's been dealing with a number of injuries in their game at Harvard on Saturday. The Bears dressed just 17 skaters, two under the limit. They only had five defensemen dressed, and they lost one of them, Brett Bliss, 3:31 into the game after he was assessed a 5-minute major for hitting from behind in the game misconduct. I mean, how important will it be to take advantage of a Brown team that is dealing with a number of injuries?
Well, I think for us, it's about how we play and how we want to, we need to be physical. We need to push the pace we can offensively. We need to play with speed make it a skating game, because, like, the more pressure we can put on them, the more pace we can play. Hopefully you can, wear them down. But I'm sure they're going to have some guys back, and they'll be healthy and a little healthier. And, Bliss will be back for sure. So it's... They did have some guys that played a high amount of minutes, though.
I mean, those factors you just mentioned, that those are the keys, you think, to beating Brown?
Yeah, I think, and for us, it's just managing the puck. When we turn pucks over, it's not a recipe for success. I think special teams will be important. And then, obviously we have to get traffic, and we scored some, tip goals, the last time we played. So I think if we can do that, I think we'll have a chance to be successful.
Well, this is the second year of the one-game first round. Have your feelings changed about it?
I mean, I think, as a league, we would like to, play a best of three. But, again, you kind of know going into the season that this is the way it's going to play out. And, I'm hoping it'll be a great atmosphere for us on Saturday. And, we can use the fans to our advantage. But, yeah, I think the more you can get games in, it's always great. But at the same point, understand.
Will the coaches try to convince the conference's athletic directors during the offseason that a best of three first round is fairer than a single elimination game?
I think that it's definitely on the on the docket to talk about, and at the end of the day, I think it comes down to finances. It comes down to what's fair and equitable for everybody. And but I do think the coaches will make a case to at least talk about it.
Yeah, it's kind of inconsistent because you have the one game first round, then you had the best of the three quarterfinals. Yes, I understand semifinals and championship round, it's at single elimination. Everybody gets that. But it's just either go best of three the first two rounds or just go best of one. I mean, would that be – what format would you like to see?
I think it's playoffs. If you can get a couple more games, go 3-3-1-1, I don't think I would like one straight across, but
I think Hockey East does that.
Yeah.
I mean, you want your best teams getting to the postseason. You don't want. Yeah. I don't. Do you want to see 7, 8, 9, and 10, or 8, 9, 10, 11, in Lake Placid? I don't know if you want that.
Yeah, I think you spend all this time in the regular season competing for points. So there's got to be a reward to it, and given somebody makes a mistake, has one bad game, and all of a sudden now their season's done. It's tough.
And also, I mean, this is one thing that Ron Fogarty pointed out last year, the Ivy Leagues. I mean, they play six less regular season games, and if you get that single elimination game and you lose, you're done. You only play 30 games, and then Princeton beat Union last year in that single game format. I mean, I know I talked to him before the days prior to the game, and he said he didn't like the format, and I asked him after the game, after winning, and he says no, he still doesn't like the format because it's just the fact that you don't play as many games as you should, because maybe it's time for the Ivies to get on board and play 34 regular season games.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Ivies are always trying to get increase their limits, and but it can be you want to get the best teams to advance, and you want to give the players it comes down to giving them the best experience they can have, and when you're pulling games from them sometimes, again, that I don't know that that's the best experience.
And especially with the pairwise. I mean, it's Cornell right now could be on the outside looking in. ECAC hockey could be a one-bid league this year.
Yeah, and them having more games right now, and it would be helpful.
Yeah. One Union player I want to ask you about is sophomore forward Colby MacArthur. He had a goal and an assist in that Cornell win. He's worked his way into a regular spot in the lineup. He has 4 goals and 6 assists in 26 games this season. He had 3 assists in 13 games last season. What has been the difference in his play this season?
I think he's just playing with a lot more confidence. And, you come from the league he came from, which is, you know, there's not a lot of players that play college hockey. He was by far the best player in that league. But then he comes and, you know, it's just, it's a culture shock and it's, you know, it's a lot different. And I think, you know, with the amount of forwards we had last year, you know, probably could have got a little better opportunity from us as a staff, but it's just, you know, you went with some different guys and he kept, you know, just staying the course, kept working. And, you know, he's played his way into, you know, an everyday guy. He's getting, you know, power play and penalty kill time. He's really earned it. So it says a lot about him and just, you know, his perseverance and what he's done. And it's pretty cool to see.
And that league is the Maritime Hockey League, correct?
That's correct. I mean,
yeah. Why don't they, many players come from there for college?
Yeah, I think there's a lot, you know, major junior hockey is a lot more prevalent there. And I think that, you know, that's kind of, you know, the path a lot of people take. So, you know, he decided to go a different route and we're thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, Josh, appreciate a few minutes. So we'll see you Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. That's Josh Halgy. I'll have another edition of the Parting Shots podcast on Thursday. And the majority of that podcast will preview the Union Brown matchup. I'll have interviews with Union players, Ben Tupker, Kyle Chauvet, Liam Robertson, and John Prokop. I'll also speak with Brown head coach, Brendan Wittett. I'll also look back at an important game in the Union-Brown rivalry from the 1993-94 season when Union beat Brown to clinch its first ever ECAC hockey tournament berth. Team captain Jeff Giampetti and goalie Michael Gallant will join me to reminisce. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I am Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schatz. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.